Raconteur. I don't think that's how you spell raconteur.
Like the band.
The raconteurs.
A slightly earlier hello and welcome. I'm Al.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is a little pre-podcast intro because Ellen's got some very exciting and interesting news that she wants to share with anyone, and it's a little bit of urgency to it. So what's going on, Ellen?
We are running year 7 of the treasure trade.
Wowzers.
Yes, I don't know where time has gone, but it's year 7.
But sadly, it's all part of life. I'm moving house, right?
Yes.
But where I am sat now, which looks very depressing and bare, like I'm in a prison cell, would normally be my bookshelf full of all the awesome treasure trade stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's all,
nice,
packed,
but
away
all packed now.
Yeah, it's all packed away in boxes and ready to move.
Yes.
But just imagine that they're all behind me and all, there's all these
all the little treasures. Yeah. Yes. So for those who don't know, the treasure trade is our yearly handmade gift exchange where all of the fools sign up and we give you a random partner and you make a gift for them. And they make a gift for someone else, and that person makes a gift for someone else.
It's not a direct swap. You don't make it for the person that's making it for you, right?
No, it's a big loop or multiple loops, loop-de-loops, where you
and
make a gift for someone.
It's not at all complicated and doesn't cause you any headaches.
No. This has been no work for me at all over the past 7 years. No, but the idea is you make a gift for someone, and someone else makes a gift for you. And it's a surprise. You tell them a little bit about the things you like. Like movies and games and things like that. And they try to make something personal for you that you're going to enjoy. And it's handmade. You hand make something for someone else. And it's a lot of fun. And just looking at all the pictures of all the things that people are receiving, it's just a great experience to be part of. And this is the year 7 that we're doing it. And it's been bigger every year. We've had hundreds of people join in over the years. Many people multiple times coming back. It's all over the world. We have, of course, lots of UK people, but all over Europe and from Norway to Denmark to France to everywhere, Australia, US, Canada, everybody gets on board.
And so sometimes you get someone that you know, but then also sometimes you might get a kind of relative stranger that is only kind of connected by this strange little environment that we're in.
It's a really nice way to
make new friends.
Absolutely, yeah. And everybody has different crafts, so this is not all woodworkers or all fabric workers or anything. It's a mix of everyone, and everyone does something else, and you don't know what you're going to get, and it's very exciting.
Love it.
Yeah, so we used to do it around Christmas, but it was a very different sort of busy time period for everyone. And then we thought, well, what's better for Fools with Tools than April Fools? So that's the thing now. You can sign up via the link in the Fools with Tools Facebook group. Because in the earlier years, I did it all by myself in a massive Excel spreadsheet. Thankfully, we've now had some coding wizards on board, mostly in the form of Duncan, who have made an online system that does most of the work for us. And we just chase people down to make sure they fill everything in. So there's a link for that in the Facebook group.
And so you have to join the group and then
answer the questions to join the group, because otherwise they're not going to let you in.
John will not let you in if you don't answer the questions.
No. So do that first. And then in there's a big post. It's pinned to the top and saying all the rules and everything. And you can sign up. And you have to do that before the 30th of March, because then we will do the whole jumble thing and assign all the partners. So you get your partner on April Fool's Day.
Nice.
The National Fools with Tools holiday.
Right. So this episode's out on Monday and you need to get your shit together before Saturday.
Yes. You've got slightly under a week.
Right. Okay. So there's your challenge. So all the details will be in the Facebook group, and there's a link, and we're going to put that in the show notes as well. But thank you very much, Ellen. That's amazing. I hope everyone signs up, and we'll see you next week as well.
Yay. See you then.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome. I'm Steve.
And I've deleted everything off my laptop and my phone, so I'm starting from scratch.
And if I die, delete my browsing history.
And this is Fools with Tools, a podcast for the reminiscing raconteur. Why have you deleted everything? What?
Because the battery died on both devices, and so I had to send them off. And you need to
work. Oh, you mean as in the battery like died?
Died, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see. So that's not great.
Well, my phone was good because it was covered under warranty, but my laptop is 9 years old, so it was not. But I am slightly less filled with hatred for Apple because they agreed to fix a 9-year-old laptop battery.
Nice. Well done, Apple.
At a hefty cost, but it was still like, yeah. They didn't try and sell me a new laptop.
Okay, like, yeah. I thought you meant as in they agreed to fix it like under warranty or something.
Oh, no, it cost me 240 fucking quid. But
fuck that.
Of course.
Fuck, you know.
But now I've got a laptop that doesn't turn off after 4 minutes.
Yeah, we were at work earlier, and I was editing some stuff to go together for a reel, and we basically had to go up to the other that we were doing some like on-site work, and Joe was like, oh, can you not just like do it on your laptop up there? And I was like, if there's a plug, then yeah. It was like, well, can you not do it on like, does the battery not last that long? I was like, well, the battery lasts a little while, but
if I'm not willing to take that risk.
Yeah, like if you're video editing, then that's about 5 minutes. Like that takes a lot of power. Speaking of power, Brett, what have you been up to?
Power. Man, when is the last time we talked?
Fucking ages ago. I don't actually remember. I don't know what I've done since we last recorded because I don't remember when we last recorded, but I'm guessing it was
a Wednesday.
It was like a month ago.
Was it a Wednesday? Right. So anyway, I'll try and pick it up where I remember leaving off. I was in the throes of trying to create products for sale, and I was all excited that I was hoping to sell products and do this R&D. I definitely worked on that more since then, but took a little breather because that's really tough. And Steve, I know you guys do that at Thornwood, but just repetitively churning out the same processes and getting through products, it's not necessarily something I want to actively do every day.
Nope.
I think it was fun for a short period of time, and then I did throw some stuff out there on the internet and socials, and did not necessarily justify the time in terms of what was received. Yeah. Which is totally fine. There's still, you know, I'm still very grateful that some people bought some products. I was very happy to have sold and sent some of those things outside of the US. That always makes me feel great when, you know, something's going across the world.
Yeah.
But getting back to the need to pay the bills and, you know, can't spend all week to sell like one coin. Can't justify the cost. So I started doing more housework and then picking up a couple of little side hustle gigs that required me sitting on the computer. And then as I was doing that, I was thinking, I was like, okay, I've been buried in front of the computer for too long. I need to do something outright creative. And then it clicked that I still have to finish the sculpture, the tusks sculpture. I was like,
oh shit, yeah.
I have no excuses. I've just been on, you know, rebuilding the workshops and then products. And I don't know. I was just going in a different direction for a while. And finally got through the engineering aspects of the sculpture, which we could talk about a little bit more, but really it just comes down to, I didn't want a lot of hardware or bracketry for the tusk. I want it to be very like negative space and open and airy and look like a landscape rather than having fixtures all over the place like it would at a typical museum. So figured that out the other day, bang on, and feeling pretty good and pretty motivated. Unfortunately, I am leaving town tomorrow for a week to go back to Kansas City and celebrate 100 years of a person's life, my grandma. Nice. We're having a little shindig for my grandmother who made it to 100. And honestly, over the last year, I don't mean to like make light of it, but honestly, 100 years, there were multiple times that I was talking to my family, just going, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? I don't know.
Are we going to make it? Not she going to make it.
Yeah. So that's exciting. You know, I've got a couple of plans to maybe meet some friends that I haven't seen in a little while I'm back. But really, it's a trip back to focus on a really, really old person with lots of stories and life experiences. So it'll be fun. Yeah. So now today I'm prepping for leaving town, and I always have to go like, oh shit, what did I leave outside that somebody could take?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't leave shit outside there, because it's horrible there. Speaking of horrible places, Al, how are things in Leeds?
Not for much longer. Got a van booked for Friday, and I'm going to fill it with all my shit.
Nice. Where are you going to take it all?
Not Leeds. So I'm
just start driving around aimlessly.
I'm moving to the south of the Lake District.
Nice.
Where I'm from. I'm moving back to the town I was born in.
Interesting.
Is this another rental, or have you actually purchased?
No chance of purchasing. This is a rental property, but it is a fixer-upper, as they say.
is it a private rental then?
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
And hopefully it's an opportunity to not spend all of my income on rent. So it's less of the big city living and more of the quaint, quiet seaside living. But
it's not really seaside, but it's that far north.
Ice side living. The house is literally on the seafront.
Nice.
The front wall of that is the seawall.
Yeah.
And
oh my god, your cars are going to rust so much
more.
Yeah, because sea air, it's like the sea air is full of salt and shit.
It's a bay. It's not that sea.
Okay.
It's mostly river estuary. I think it's estuary.
The estuary wall.
So, I mean, getting rid of some cars is part of the task of having to move, because you can only drive one car at a time. So I can't move all my cars to a new house unless I get some sort of car transporting. That's another vehicle.
But imagine it, like a proper car transport. You could just park everything on there then.
So my mate,
and then
Tom,
you've only got to park one vehicle.
So Tom, who brings me all my Vitari, from campsites around the UK, he's just passed his test to drive a transporter.
Nice.
So it's like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Although I'm not spending more money than my cars are worth to move them.
You're not spending any money to move them.
No. Well, fuel. So I'm very literally packing boxes.
Nice.
All the shit.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's good. It's hard because I'm trying to work as well at the same time, because I can't just stop working. I now work for myself.
So are you, when you go there, are you going to be doing the same sort of thing? Are you going to be like handymanning around?
Yeah.
Because you've already got a load of connections there as well.
I've got connections. I've already got some gigs lined up, but I've also got a lot of catering going on. So I met this week with the guy who runs the ceramics festival. And we're doing 9 events this year.
Nice.
Which I'm going to be catering for. So that's like 9 gigs up and down the country.
When you say catering for, have you got a thing to cater in?
A little from column A, a little from column B. So some of it's like outside in like marquees and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's more just a case of chafing dishes and that kind of thing. But hopefully by the summer, I'll be up and running with the truck.
Nice.
And then we can sort something out from there. But there's one down your way, Steve. For the
first, I know.
Time. Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Up to you there. I mean, it's a great show. So for anyone around the country, there's the Pot Fest. It will be happening at a place near you, hopefully.
Awesome.
It's just lots of fucking sorting shit out, being ruthless, throwing stuff away, going to the tip, ringing the scrap man several times.
Yeah.
Like, but the more scrap I give the scrap man, the more he's going to like grease my palms with the stuff. So it's like,
One other question with regards to the move then is, are you taking the shack?
Today I came to the conclusion that it is not economically viable.
I thought that might be the case. Yeah.
It's like, it's sunken cost fallacy. It's like, yes, it was hard and I enjoyed it and it cost a lot of money, but it's going to be less enjoyable and cost more money to move it. So it's like, why don't I just use that opportunity to build Shack 2?
Yeah.
And then learn from my mistakes, you know, make it cheaper, make it better, faster, stronger, like, salt proof.
Yeah.
But also, you know, big enough to fit a car in this time.
Yeah.
You know,
like Brett did with the second workshop.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. Sounds good, man. Sounds like there's a lot of good shit going on. Yeah.
In between all that, I finished the camper van.
Hey!
So I delivered that on Saturday. So that's like 8 months in real time, but it was exactly 8 weeks of work. So it's 40 days because I've invoiced and tallied everything. So it's 40 days of work.
Nice.
To Josh Hartnett. Josh Hartnett? Ashton Kutcher. I always get those two mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good film, though. Yes, that's how long it takes to
Josh Hartnett
convert a camper van. Ashton Kutcher is the Butterfly Effect.
Yes.
It's also a quite good film. If you're
2000
class. Wait,
which that's one's 70 show. 11?
Hartnett.
Yeah. That's a fucking good film. I haven't seen that in ages. Speaking of good films, what have I been up to, you ask? I don't know. I don't make the rules on the segues. I just say them. What have I been up to, you ask? I can't remember. When did we about a month ago. So
he literally wrote the thing in the notes. Yeah. When did we record last? Look at your note.
That would involve looking over there or just remembering it. We at Thornwood have been extremely busy over the last basically since I got back from the States. This last couple of weeks we've had a little bit of downtime. Well, I say this last week we had a little bit of a breather after we got back from the British shooting show. But yeah, that was the big thing that we were working towards, is getting that done and everything sorted for that, which was such a cool experience. It was very different to a lot of the other shows and things that we've been to. It was at the NEC. It was in the big hall there, Hall 5. And it dwarfed pretty much every other event I've been to at the NEC. I think, like, it's always good doing events and meeting kind of the public and everything, but it was by far and away the...
Bigger than VapeCon.
Bigger than VapeCon.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
I know. But yeah, it was really good meeting the public and everything. But in terms of like making connections with like other makers, and less other makers, but more actual business contacts, we've already had a load of work come out of that, or potential work, sorry, come out of that. So we've had some very good conversations after that. We also had a bunch of people book onto classes. We've sold a load of the shotgun knives, because that was the whole thing that we were there, is launching the Barrels to Blade project, which is taking end-of-life shotguns and reforging them into knives, essentially, using the barrels as like a samurai laminate with a high carbon insert in it, and the gun stocks as the handle. During the course of that event, I said that sentence, or words to that effect, so many, 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 many times. And it got to the point where I was going like, oh yeah, so we take these old knives and we turn them into shotguns, and then we do the thing. Wait, hang on, wait, what? And I mean, you know what it's like when you've spoken to 1,000 people in a day and you've had to say the same thing over and over again, and it just, your brain just turns to mush. But yeah, we did that. We've had a lot of people that are interested in actually getting that done as well, so that's really good. We've got the first class coming up on 2 weeks time, first ACT class of the year. We actually did a little class this weekend that was just it was Sam, who's kind of like the secret fourth member of Thornwood Forge. It was a bunch of his mates came down from the RAF and did like a knife in a day class. And it was really, really good fun. But I think Joe had kind of forgotten that, A, how tired, because Joe's not stopped in the last few weeks. Like, he really needs a few days off. And B, like, how kind of intensive teaching can be. Because I turned up, I literally just turned up to say hi to Sam and grab a couple bits. And Joe turned around to me and was like, have you got any plans for the rest of the day, Steve? I was like, supposed to be doing a few things, but nothing major. Why? What's up? And he was like, I will pay you to stay and just take over the class for a couple of hours and give me a break. I was like, that's fine, dude. Yeah, we'll sort that out. But no, it was really good. And coming back from the shooting show was good as well, because we kind of took it as a bit of an opportunity to just clean house a bit, because you know what it's like when you don't break from project to project, you're literally just constantly, like, everyone's on something all the time. So there's no, like, definite break. It's like you'll get to almost the end of a project and say Jimmy will go off and start on the next one, or I'll go off and start on this, and you know, the other person. So there's constant overlap, so there's no chance to really, like, have a deep clean. So we took that chance and just reorganized a few things, put some stuff in better locations, and very quickly realized that the space that we're in, probably not big enough for how much the business has grown in a year. Because that was the other thing, is the 1st of March is the 1 year anniversary of Thornwood. And when we look back at, like, what's happened in the last year, it's kind of mad to think that not only, like, most businesses, like, lose quite a lot of money in the first year, and Thornwood has garnered enough work that it's now employing 3 people full time, plus a couple of others, like, part time helping out here and there. And excuse me. I also developed a horrible cough at the shooting show, and it's not gone since. But yeah, it's kind of mad that we've done this much, and we're like only just getting started. So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. We did I don't know if you guys saw that we've been doing the monthly roundup sort of vlog post things with the 3 of us, just sat around in the workshop, just talking about what we've done over the past month. And they've been really good, because it's just been an opportunity for us to just actually look back at what we've achieved each month. And it's kind of mind blowing when you do take that time to just stop and look back and go, oh shit, we do quite a lot each month. So yeah, that's been really good. And we did an intro video, which was the first chance I've really had to properly get into playing around with the new camera. And it's been really, like, that was so nice doing that, just having a project to work on for that. It did kind of make me go, like, oh, I need to get this, and oh, we need to change that. And, like, editing that video, I've realized that there was a load of stuff that I should have done and that I didn't do this right or whatever. But it's that kind of learning curve sort of thing. And getting my head around DaVinci Resolve has been really good. And yeah, it's been a fun month, and there's lots going on, and I'm really excited about what's to come this year. Because we've already been talking about a few things that, like, big projects and that might come up, but even just, like, little things, like just getting back into making videos again, both for Thornwood and for the kind of videos that I want to do, and some of the events that we're going to be doing as well. Like, we desperately need to book in more classes, because we've got a bunch of people that want to do classes. And the one that we really need to do more of is the Wind Down and Hammer Time one, because at the shooting show, there were so many people that wanted to do that. And we might get some people, some, like, other Smith friends as well to come and be, like, guest teachers and stuff like that. So it's good, and I'm excited, and there's a lot of cool shit going on.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just gonna cough a sec, so you
I've been muting myself on and off because I'm full of cough.
Yeah. How exciting, though. And I think the main thing that I've taken away from seeing some of the posts are that you guys are thriving even within the first year, or, like, slightly after the first year. You're able to look back at it and things have been going well. Yeah. And it, you know, struggles, yes. And I'm sure there's been plenty of just getting used to the new setup and the new people being all around and the amount of work that you guys are taking on. But congrats to all of you guys, because it's hard to be profitable or even at least, you know, breaking even after the first year. It's, yeah, it's so typical to be so loss oriented after your first year, knowing that like, oh, we just got to stick it out. It's like, that's really tough to do in this economy, but you guys are doing it. So good for you. Good for you, and send my best to the boys.
I will. But yeah, it is. It's a bit of a weird one to kind of look back at it and go, like, the amount that we've done, and the fact that it all feels so like normal as well. And I think the fact that the three of us have all worked together for such a long time really helps. And it's the fact that there's no ego, there's no any of that. It is literally just like, right, what needs doing? Let's just fucking do it. Like with the shooting show, there is absolutely no way that Joe should have agreed to do the shooting show, because we did not have, we were already behind on shit, but we kind of talked about it, and it was kind of like, this is potentially a really fucking good opportunity. Like, are we ready to do it? And we just kind of, we all went, fuck it. Yeah. We'll make it work. And we did work fucking long hours. And like, it was, I mean, Joe was doing 7 days a week, and he was doing like, he'd get to the workshop about 7:30 and he wouldn't leave until 9 o'clock at night some days. And no, Jimmy and I were putting in not quite that many hours, but we were still like in there a lot. And, but when we actually got to the show, and I think the first day was still a bit mad, but the second day we just kind of just changed things around a little bit. We like moved some of the stuff around and all of that, and just looking at it and going, oh fuck, this is legit. Like, we've done this. This is amazing. Especially when like the first couple of knives and that sold. And I remember the first one that sold, the guy came up, listened to like 10 seconds of the spiel about the fact that they were made from old knives, and just kind of picked one up, looked at it, and just went, I asked how much they were, and you know, said, you know, that one's 520 or whatever it was, and he said, cool, yep, I'll have it. Like, just not zero questioning it or trying to haggle or anything like that, just like, yep, I'll have it, let's go.
So sorry, I might have missed the point, is it not that you get your own gun turned into a knife for you?
So yes, that's kind of the idea behind it, is that if you
also have stock items.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And yeah, they were literally ones that we'd gone to the local gun shop, which is across the road from where the workshop is, and basically raided their scrap bin and just got a load of old barrels and stocks. The one that we did as well, there's a guy called Johnny Carter who runs a YouTube channel called TGS Outdoors, which is, I think, the Gun Show Outdoors or something. And he's a big, like, within the shooting world, he's a big YouTuber. And he came down, made a video of the whole process. He came down with his shotgun. And what was quite nice is, like, the ones that Joe had done, they were just, like, absolute basic, used just a random chunk of within the gun barrel and all of this, whereas with Johnny's, we wanted to embellish it a little bit more. So, you know, we kept some of the original checkering, we kept the trigger tang in the wood and everything as well, and just tried to keep as much of it as possible. And that was where the conversations were really good, speaking to people and kind of saying, like, look, you know, depending on what your budget is, we can do fucking all sorts to these knives. And when we were there, we actually spoke to a couple of the gunsmiths there as well and spoke to them about like basically collaborative sort of stuff where, you know, we can hand it off to them and they can do some proper engraving, they can put checkering on the handles and all of this. And like other things, like people wanting, like where the on the handle, you've got like the little bit where the kind of the finger guard thing, and having the trigger go in and be like actually inlaid in that, which would be really good fun to figure out and actually make that work. But yeah, it's it's exciting, and I'm really looking forward to playing around with that a little bit more.
It's a cool project, and it's just got me thinking, like, what else? What else is there that you can turn into something else? And that's awesome. It's like my approach to building most things is like, take this old shit, deconstruct it, and then bring it back to life as something comical or, you know, useful. But there's a romance in that, and it actually, it's not like artisanal bullshit.
Yeah,
it's actually a really nice thing, which probably is really fucking useful for someone who does hunt.
Yeah.
And you know, doesn't want to waste this lovely item that is no longer fit for purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Yeah. And what I love is the fact that, like you say, because of the amount of material that's coming out of these guns, like, you can only really use the breech end where the actual explosion happens as a laminate, because that's where it's nice and thick. The other end, like the rest of the barrel, is too thin to forge weld. But that's why I turned around to Joe and was like, why don't we just make friction folders out of that? He was like, oh, that's actually genius. And what's really nice is we can make them so they can be like UK legal carry friction folders. So you can have that as your everyday knife that, you know, it stays in your pocket all the time. And then you have your nice hunting knife that only goes out when you go out hunting or shooting or doing your outdoor pursuit sort of stuff.
In a shotgun shell.
Yeah.
I was going to say the old Opinel knives. Friction folder, that just seems like a pretty easy way. Like, if you're going to get the entire barrel, just cut some 4-inch sections off. And
well, the Opinels aren't UK legal because they're locking, because you can turn the barrel and lock it.
Well, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying. It's a nod to that, but legal.
And like I say, that's why we ended up with the kind of the friction folder sort of style. It was so just getting distracted by the dog. But yeah, it was really nice being able to kind of do that and work with that sort of project.
How delightful. What about, does Al, in your line of work, do you have opportunities to do anything like this where it's creative reusing of materials? Say, like, you talked about the stonework that you were doing for somebody a while back whenever we recorded. Do you ever get to look at somebody's, like, if they want to redo their patio, can you dig it up and then reuse it and go, oh, you know, we could actually reuse these things and make it look even nicer than it did in the first place?
Literally tomorrow, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to a client who's wants something doing with the patio. I don't know if it's an aura I give off or the way I talk about things, but people often ask me, like, what do you recommend? It's like, it's your fucking house. Like, you asked me to come here and do it. And it's like, oh, well, I'd do it like this. Or you've got this stuff here. Why not reuse it? Or why not bring it in? And there's the sort of Pinterest culture of people like, oh, I saw this slatted wooden paneling on Pinterest. I really like it. Can you put some up in my living room? It's like, yeah, I can do that. Or, you know, why not work with what we've got? Or, I noticed you had that stuff downstairs. What are you doing with that? You know, let's, and a lot of the times it becomes interesting to them because it's like, oh yeah, that's been in my family for years. Or, you know, I was just restoring some furniture yesterday for these two sisters who are like in their 90s, and it never occurred to them that this stuff just like they live in this fucking ridiculous Victorian house. It's like, you know, 4 stories tall, and there's 2 of them, and they're in the 90s, and there's like 8 bedrooms and all this shit. And it's like, it's one of those houses with the bells in each room.
Nice.
So you can call the fucking maids and shit. And in every room, there's just like 10 items of furniture, and it's all rot in and, you know, just in disrepair. And it never occurred to them that we could just take the base off that and put that dresser on top, and then you have something useful that's at the right height for you because you're a withered up 3-foot fucking goblin. It's like, and now you've got, and they're like, oh,
I really hope you didn't actually call them a goblin.
No, it's actually quite spry.
The thumbnail for this has to be based on just that statement where it's creature from Harry Potter. Just like, I love my wardrobe.
But yeah, so it's something that comes up on a regular basis, is like, what do you recommend, or what do you think is a good idea? Yeah. What color should I paint my? It's like, why are you asking me what color you should paint your living room? Like, do you not like your own colors? Well,
it's the thing of what's the term? But it's like where people just assume because you're being paid to do something within that sphere, they assume that you are experienced. Like, even if you have zero experience, you can, if you're charging someone for something, they assume there's like implied competence or something like that.
Yeah.
By charging someone to do something, it automatically makes them automatically think that you know what you're talking about. So your opinion is somehow more valid than like anyone else's.
on the flip side of that, because they're old, they've got no fucking self-discipline or filter.
Yeah.
And I was in the other room working on something, and they'd come recommended from one of my previous clients, and I heard her say something along the lines of, and then she told me, don't be surprised when you see his face. And I'm like, what does that mean?
I mean, to be fair,
I look like I'm going to rob you when I come to your house. What do you mean?
I mean, I've seen you a bit disheveled from underneath the truck. If you walked out to my house and went, right, I'm here to fix your fucking toilet.
I'm here to restore your fucking Georgian chest that you've got in your living room today.
Let's be honest. Fucking hobo. With the big bushy beard and the beanie, you do look a bit homeless. Let's not beat around the bush.
And I turn up with like all my jeans have got holes in it.
Yeah,
covered in paint and oil. It's like
and a leaky old Vitara sort of thing.
He is the prime example of don't judge a ratty old book by its cover.
Yeah, actually, speaking of old cars,
best handyman I've ever had.
The Land Rover's back on the road again. But then didn't start this morning. So because it's the Land Rover. It did that thing where it just clicks when you turn the key and it just goes click. And it's one of those, you can wait 30 seconds or 10 minutes. Like, it's somewhere in that area. It will eventually start. It just, I don't know how long it's going to take. And so because we were, I had to drop Ollie in at work. So she's like, fuck it, let's just take your car. Because it's only just, she's only just brought it over to the house. And it's I think it's like an 04 plate, a 54 plate Renault Clio. And it's proper one of those where you open the engine bay and there's just so much space around the engine because the engine's only this big. And it was fucking glorious. And so jumped in that, started first time, brilliant. Drove her to work, dropped her off, went to the workshop. And it's like the inside of it is full of condensation, and it was leaking from like the button, like where you press the interior light, like there was drips of water coming out of that. And I was like, that's not good. But I was like, I went to put something in the back and realized there was a puddle in the back. So I was like, oh fuck. So I opened it up and there was a, like, rather than having a tub of washer fluid, it was like a bag of washer fluid. You know how like Canadians have milk in a bag? It was like that, but with washer fluid.
Milk in a bag.
And so I was like, I'll get that out because that's not going to be helping. So I started to try and dry that out a little bit. And I was like, well, while I'm here, I'll chuck the rest of that into I fill up the washer fluid whilst I'm here sort of thing, because I'm going to chuck this bag. And so I was like, did that. And then I was like, well, while I'm here, I might as well just check the other fluids. And the coolant was, it was like just below minimum. So I was like, I'll just put a little bit of water in there. That'll be fine. And I was like, I just checked the oil, pulled the dipstick out, and was like, there's not much on that. It'll be all right. And cleaned it off, put it back in, pulled it out, dry as a bone. Ooh. Not a single drop of oil in there. And I was like, I don't know how long this has had no oil in it. So I refused to drive it anywhere. Got Joe to pick up some oil on his way back from the laser cutters and topped up and just good as gold. And I was like, I really miss like having an old shitty car like that. So I even said to Ollie, like, if you ever think that you're going to get rid of that car, you're not, because it's amazing. And the fact that it's still running, even after having zero oil in it, like, I love that car. but yeah, old cars are fucking great. And I love, like, I think I was just excited about the fact that I knew that when shit goes wrong with it, I can just get in and fix it, because it's easy to get to. It's doable. And yeah.
Talking of easy to get to and doable, we're really ramping up production for this year's Maker Central.
Yes.
So the gang getting all their activities ready. We've got, did you meet Chrissy from Soapy? Did she make you some soap last time, Steve?
No.
She's been there last couple of years. And then this year, she was really like in on the stand and like getting involved and stuff. And
yeah.
she wants to do it next year. So, yeah. So this year, so we're going to make, I think she's making like bath bombs. So you can make your own stuff and your own ingredients and your own scent colors and shit. But yeah, we're just getting all the stuff ready, getting all the activities. And again, I think it's going to be another great one. Makers. So the reason I brought it up is because Maker Jenga is back this year. So I put it in the Facebook group, but for anyone not on Facebook that's listening, if you come into Maker Central and you want to make a Jenga block, we'll put the dimensions and shit in the shouts.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, it's different size than last time, because last time it wasn't the correct proportions for Jenga and it really ground my fucking gears. they were too flat to be an official Jenga block.
That's unlike you to get annoyed about something minor like that.
It's like really simple geometry and it wasn't right. If you come in and you want to make one, that'd be awesome.
Nice. As I say, if you can get me over the thingies, I can stick it on the Instagram as well. And should do it like that.
And also make one.
Maybe we've got quite a lot to do before then. We're also going to
get out of an old claymore or something. The mine, not the sword.
Yeah, obviously. because we're going to be there. So Billy from Bill's Workshop is going to be doing he's going to be running the blacksmithing thing. But he's going to be doing it with us this year. So we're going to be there with him, as in Thornwood. We're going to be doing the Have a Go sessions again, although it's different this year. So you can't, like, whereas every other year it's been a case of being able to walk up and just have a go. This time you either need to, you need to book it through the Maker Central website in advance. And it's going to be half hour sessions and it's going to be like a session every hour. So there's a little bit of leeway and we should actually get a bit of time off rather than it just being like bang, 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 one after the other. Apparently there's going to be no demonstrations or anything like that, but if we've got time between classes, I'm definitely going to be doing, like, I already spoke to Joe because I don't think we're going to need to have all four of us teaching at all times. So I might do like a little mini knife, tiny knife demonstration and make one of those and then heat treat it and grind it there as well, because we're gonna have the grinders and that there. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it this year. I think it's gonna be good fun. But the look on Brett's face of just like
every fucking year, you guys.
Sorry, dude.
It's all right, you get to go to WoodCon, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Bench boys.
Yeah. The wood bench.
Seriously.
Boys.
Did you see me? Did you see me at the Bench Boys Con?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's only $7,000 a ticket to Bench Boys.
Yeah.
It's just... can we just change that over to Bench Boys now? Because that's fucking brilliant.
It's not with a Z. You'd think it would be, but it's just an S.
Boys.
I'm trying to think of other like letters that you could switch out and I can't. And there's not even a U for the Americans to take out, so maybe instead of a Y it's with an I. Should we go to spiffing?
There's a quick spiffing.
Yeah, let's go to spiffing.
Treat yourself.
People that we think that are spiffing.
Al, have you got an order?
Yeah, it's a spa.
Spa, which means I'm first, and I'm going to spiff, rather than a person, I'm going to spiff an event. So it's the Ferris Festival, which is the Hereford's School of Blacksmithing. So Hereford University or Hereford College, I think it is. Hereford College is a world famous blacksmithing education place. Loads of really, really good artist blacksmiths go there. It's basically the only proper blacksmithing college left in the UK. And every March they have a festival where they display the students' past and present, their artwork, their sculptures, what they're doing. They have talks by lots of different people. There is just one
mouse. Stop it.
They have demonstrators come in from all over the world. There is, I can't remember the guy's name, but a really good copper worker is going to be there this year. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And it's the 15th, 16th and 17th of March, I think, which is this weekend. But yeah, there's just a lot of really cool people there. A lot of cool artwork there. So go and check out the page and see what you can get from it. Yes. Brett, you are next.
I'm going to spiff two pieces of media. If anybody hasn't seen them, I would say just keep them on the radar. See them when you can. Don't go out of your way. But if you watched any of the recent award shows, Poor Things, right? Isn't Poor Things? Yeah.
Yep.
That movie got a lot of awards. I found it and watched it, and I had absolutely zero understanding of what it was going to be about. I read nothing. I knew nothing about it. And although the storyline is pretty wacky and yeah, it was just really unique because I had no idea what I was getting into. It's so well done in terms of cinematography and approach and decision making. So as someone who likes to ingest artsy films or maybe stuff that's a little bit like anti-Hollywood or just atypical of Hollywood, I think that movie just has a lot of good going on between the acting and then specifically the cinematography, why they chose to do what
they did. It doesn't look like it's like Wes Anderson's self,
yes,
circle jerking. It looks
no, like it's yeah, and it's also not, when you take it into the creepy realm, a lot of what people do now is like, oh, we just make it Tim Burton, things are pointy or elongated or whatever. This is a fever dream.
I did more than that.
But Al, they specifically chose to use that font styling that's been famous since like the 50s or 60s, the elongated grotesque stuff. And the title cards. I'd say if anybody wanted to pay attention to something specifically, is the title cards of when the chapters change within the movie are just like, pause it.
I think I've already seen someone doing a critique of it.
It's obviously not so good. Yeah. They're so good. So yeah, for someone like me, that movie really did something new, and I'm always looking for somebody to just kind of break the mold a little bit, just try something new. And the fact that you get well-known actors and actresses in it that play their parts well. Most of them were kind of, I wouldn't say out of character, but they were surprising, like what happened within the movie. So anyway, Poor Things was great. I would say look it up if you can access it in some way. Please do. I think it's worth a watch. Secondly, is just, I did watch Dune 2. I took myself to the movie theater and watched Dune 2. I don't know if you've read the books or whatever, maybe you like it, maybe you don't. If you like the first one, whatever. I'm just going with the fact that cinematography again boggles my brain. They did an amazing job with the effects. The acting is great. The fact that they shot in infrared during the black and white scenes for very specific reasons. Again, it's just like Denis pushing the envelope a little bit and going, yeah, it's a blockbuster movie, but like he's artistic in his handling.
I am very excited about seeing that in the cinema.
It is one of those movies that I think plays better on a big screen. But watch it whenever you can, however you can. I'm sure it'll be on streaming at some point in the near future anyways. But Poor Things for artsy, Dune for more blockbustery, but I still think just very well handled. Quiet. Yeah. Quiet is the word that I got after Dune 2, where I was like, it's full of action scenes. But even afterwards, you're like, it's not a Marvel movie where everything loud and powerful and ramping up.
Yeah. I mean, I, just to go back to Poor Things, like I remember seeing, I think it was like a teaser trailer for it and looking at it and going, that looks really wanky and shit. And it was watching Emma Stone did a, I can't remember, it was like an interview thing with her, and she talked about it a little bit, and it showed a load of clips of it. And then I saw like the full trailer at the end of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was watching that made me go, oh, actually, this is that teaser trailer did it no justice. This actually looks really fucking good.
It looks no fun. Spoilers or anything, but I thought it was going to be this dark, depressing tale by the end of it. And by the end, I was like, ha!
Yeah. See, that's I think like it was the thing that the interview with Emma, it made me look at it again and go like, oh, this is going to be a really fun movie. I'm excited to see that. And obviously, again, like you say with Dune, I'm very excited about watching that in the cinema. Yeah. Hopefully next week.
Holy shit, are they marketing it?
Yeah.
So well, it's everywhere. Like everywhere is Dune right now and has been for weeks.
Have you seen the popcorn thing?
So fucking bad.
The popcorn thing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, just Google it. Just make sure you've got Safe Search on when you do. Al, what about you?
Just on the back of, have you started watching Shogun on Disney?
No.
It's good.
It's on my laptop right now, like waiting to play an episode.
It's nice. It's like as if like Black Sails or Spartacus had a budget and some art direction. It's quite nice.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah, it's worth a watch.
Cool.
I enjoyed it. That's not my spiff.
I was going to say, was that your spiff?
It's a bit random, but Instagram has been trying to fucking force feed me skateboarding videos for since I've joined Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not interested, little whingy fucking skater kids. And it's like, I'm not 14 anymore. But this one channel came up and it's called Skate IQ. And a lot of his videos are this dude teaching kids how to skateboard.
Yeah.
And what he does is he just watches them try a trick and then he goes, I know what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And he is teaching me shit which nobody has ever taught me or made clear, and it's all so obvious, and it makes me want to get back on the skateboard again. So if you are middle-aged and wanting some excuse to have a crisis and in your earlier life maybe skateboarded a little bit, Skate IQ on Instagram is a really good channel to follow, and it's just really simple little tips about how to move your body weight, how to shift your foot, what you're trying to achieve in what order, and it's just super, and it's not like douchebag skater guy talk, you know. Yeah. it's not totally rad. He's just like a teacher, like an actual teacher. And I never understood why people would go and have lessons about something like this. Like, why would you have a fucking lesson on how to skate? But this is why. And it
was
makes
it Skate IQ
Skate IQ, yeah, all one word.
So you keep talking. I'm just going to watch some of this.
Simple.
That's it. There is no more talking.
Simple.
It's just looking like, yeah, okay, that.
A lot of it's vert stuff.
So he's
like a vert specialist, which I kind of like vert. But yeah, it's nice. It's wholesome.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Nice. Good shot, man. Cool. I think that's it. That's it. It's been a long time. I can't remember how this all works. Is there any other business? Oh, there's fucking letters and shit, isn't there? Emails. Carry on. Have you got any other business?
Yeah, but I forgot.
Yeah.
There it is. We're back into the typical.
We're back. No, I've got loads of stuff. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay. Well, I don't have any other business, other than to say, if you haven't already, go and check out the Thornwood Forge YouTube channel where we're doing our updates and shit, because I think that they're good fun. And it's also a good place for us to post all the random videos and shit that we take and forget to post anywhere else. But we do also have some emails. So we've had an email from the one and only Alan, and it just says, I remember the first time I seen a Universal remote. I thought, this changes everything.
Oh. See, that joke's got a special place in my heart because I always subscribe to having universal remotes, and I always had like a big touchscreen Sony one that was fucking the balls, and it could control everything. And then when anyone came to my house, they didn't know how to use it, and he was like, "Yeah, because you're not fucking in control. I'm in control, and only I can use the brick." And it was great, and it had like bioluminescent backlit touchscreen, and you could whatever, you could have your mini disc deck on there, your app, your radio, everything, and it would even turn on the old PS2.
Nice,
because it had the PlayStation remote. It was the fucking bomb. So I like that joke, and I like remotes.
Such a dork, I love it. And then one from the other Alan,
Inside Out.
Hey guys, just a quickie from the other Alan. Three friends, Steve, Alan, Brett, you see, with toolkits in hand, embarked on a spree. From shelves to shit houses, their project like spouses brought laughter and skill, a delightful decree. Yes, I read that really badly.
Let's get Steve to read the poem.
Let's get Steve to do it so he can understand where the rhyming scheme comes in.
I struggle to read at the best of times, let alone in rhythm. I don't have any rhythm. Yes, that's from Alan. Thank you, Alan. We love you. Other Alan, not Alan. Yeah, that's it, right? Look, I don't know. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us in all of the usual social media places. You can find me at Moonshine Metalworks. You can find Brett at Skull and Spade 13, and you can find Al at Al's Hack Shack.
You would have found me in a Luton panel van, but they didn't have any at Europcar, so I have to just rent a fucking normal van, normal pauper. Instead of having an obviously I'm moving house van.
Yeah.
I'm just like a bloke with a fucking rental van.
No tail lift.
No tail lift. No perfectly geometrically square fucking sides that I can pack shit into.
Why don't you go
cram things into a round van like a fucking milk truck?
We picked up the van from the hire place for the shooting show, and it was black. Ooh. Never get a black hire van. I was so excited, and it was wearing a high-vis jacket because it had the chevrons on the back. Oh. Who did you hire from?
Europcar.
Should have gone to fucking. We don't need to talk about your local.
Should have gone to West Coast Rentals.
No, I was going to say fucking Salford because they're up in Leeds, and
they've got my points on.
Fucking points.
Big prizes.
Yes. Okay. So is there something else I'm supposed to do?
No.
I feel like I'm forgetting something. No. Okay. Right. Right. In which case, that is the other thing. I'm supposed to fucking wait, people, if you want to email us, then hello.
Send us an email.
Yeah. Send us an email to hello@fwtpodcast.com. But yeah, that's it. So until next time, we love you. We'll see you later. Goodbye. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Bye.
What is the thing everyone's doing nowadays? This? It's like a heart or whatever. Make a heart. Haven't you seen the kids do this?
I've not seen the kids do it. I don't see many kids.
Just that.
All right, easy.
How is it they do it like that? Yeah, like that.
That's like 2008, Steve.
You're 2008.
2008.